power worship this evening. Come on. That will set this place on fire. Come on. Let's open up in prayer quickly before we get into the word. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this evening, Lord. We pray, Lord, everything spoken that comes from your word, Lord, that it'll be anointed, Father God. May it penetrate our hearts and get us into action mode, Father God. And so, Lord, I pray, Father God, that whatever you're going to speak this evening through the presence of your Holy Spirit, Father God, I pray that it doesn't return void, Lord, that it challenges us, it transforms us in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, amen, air high five, at least five people before you take your seat. What an awesome series. I heard Andre brought the house down this morning. That message apparently was super. Everyone's been talking about it. We've been preaching on a series called Change Your World. And the topic this week is actually about serving. About not that, you know, to change your world, sometimes people think that you'd change your world one day. No. We can change our world today. And that's what the Word of God teaches us, is that we have the power to be able to be influencers by the presence of the Holy Spirit so we can get involved in our community. So the first thing I want to talk about tonight if you see something, do something. Yeah. Look to the person next to you and say, see something, and look to the other person and say, do something. Come on. I believe right here in this place tonight, in this auditorium and online, that each person here has a unique transformational change your world story inside of you already. Whether you've already used it, that's okay, because you can use it again. But I believe if you haven't had an opportunity to use it, it's still lying in you. The potential is busy boiling and ready. Each one of us have been given different gifts, different unique gifts to be able to bless other people. And I believe tonight that there's a change your world story sitting in each one of us here tonight. But there's the one thing that kind of brings the change your world together. There's one thing that kind of makes us, even though we're all unique and we all have a different story, there's one thing that brings us together, and that is being a servant. You see, when we're servants, we actually live out the purpose of what God wants. Whether you're a mom, a dad, a student, a child, an older person, a younger person, a single again person, God has got a story waiting inside of you, and it's ready to be unleashed. And I really pray tonight that something that gets read in the Word will trigger you to want to start serving in God's house. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Come on, let's get into it. You know, to be a great servant, Jesus actually points out through the Word, and if you sum it up, Jesus is one of the best servant leaders in the history of time. And we're going to use his example this evening. But to be a great servant, you need four things. You need the head. He speaks about the heart, the hand, and our habits. Now, we're going to be reading out of Matthew chapter 23 from verses 8 to 12 this evening. But before I get into that particular scripture, I want to give you a bit of context, okay? Right now, Jesus is actually, he's condemning the Israel leaders, okay? The Sadducees and the Pharisees, he's actually condemning them because they are practicing things that they aren't preaching things that they don't practice themselves. They are seeking status and respect over everything else. Yes, Mom? But that's not the type of devotion that God wants. Yeah. This self-seeking, hierarchical, I'm the boss attitude. You see, these guys had started to covet, and they started to see the word rabbi as an ability that they were higher than everybody else because of their position. Yeah. And so Matthew picks up from verses 8, and it's going to be on the board if you don't have your Bibles open, and it says, this is Jesus talking now. He says, but you are not to be called rabbi. And he's speaking to the disciples. He says, for you have one teacher and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth your father, for you have one father and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, because you have one instructor, and that's the Messiah. Now, verse 11 is very key. Everybody say it with me at the same time. The greatest among you will be servants. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. As a church, we've gone on a journey recently to get job descriptions down for our staff. Because we believe that when we get a job description, we kind of clarify what the role is that we need to fulfill. And we believe that once we have clarified this role and trained people in this role, it gives us an ability to move faster without having to stop and ask questions along the way, because everybody is clear on the direction. You see, the thing about a job description is it gives you an injection of direction. Poet, and I didn't even know it. An injection of direction. This is what Jesus is trying to teach his disciples right now. I believe that Jesus is giving them in verse 11 the best job description that can actually be told throughout the Bible for anyone that wants to serve God. And he says in verse 11, the greatest amongst you will be your servants. Come on. That's my first point. I want to let you guys know tonight that the greatest amongst you will be your servants. Now, what is a servant? Well, a description of a servant is a waiter or somebody who performs a service for somebody else. Okay? Those who advance others' interests, even at the sacrifice of their own interests. That's what a servant is. A servant puts other people above their needs at times. But Jesus was a servant leader. Now, if you want to know what a servant leader is primarily focused on the growth and well-being of other people in their communities and surrounding areas. You see, I believe all of us are servant leaders. Somewhere inside of you tonight, I believe that you have the ability to be a servant leader, to make a difference. You have the ability to put the people above and their growth and ability to equip people to make our communities better. But if you want to know what the opposite of a servant leader is, well, it's self-promotion. Have you ever been around those guys that you never have to ask them how good they are? They'll just tell you. Have you anybody ever been around somebody like that? You ever want to know how good they are? Just keep quiet. They're going to tell you. That's pride. The ability to go, look at me, I'm going to promote myself. The other thing is you can also see self-protection. Somebody in their insecurities wants to still put themselves above everybody else because they have insecurities they're dealing with. I believe this sort of leadership dominates our leadership styles in the world today. This ability to put myself first above everybody else. This ability to say that my position, my title, gives me the ability to tell you what to do. And some of us have this skewed perception because if we actually look at how Jesus served, that wasn't the way that Jesus actually served. You see, many leaders act as if the sheep are there for the benefit of the shepherd, but it's actually the other way around. Jesus was a servant leader, and his approach to leadership is driven by four basic principles. And I'm going to quickly read them out because we don't have a lot of time tonight. But these principles should be the central beliefs of our ministry. You see, number one, leadership happens anytime you influence a thinking, a behavior, or the development of another person. That's servant leadership. The second thing is Jesus is our best example of a servant leader. If you wanted to go and Google best example of servant leader, guess who's going to pop up? Jesus is the best example of a servant leader in the history of all time. Do you know that history stands for his story? I just made that up, but that's not really true, but we'll go with it. Amen. Number three, servant leaders is, so here's the thing that verses stood out to me. A servant leadership is the only approach of leadership style that Jesus validates for his followers. He doesn't believe in an autocratic leadership style. He only validates servant leadership. The fourth thing is effective leadership begins on the inside before it starts on the outside. And the world says, I will fix things on the outside, but they forget to stop and say, what's my part? How can I improve myself so that I may help others? This is the style that Jesus would use. And so for the followers of Jesus, servant leadership is not an option. Servant leadership is a mandate. He's not asking you, he's telling you, if you are gonna be a follower in the kingdom of Christ or somebody that's gonna help grow the kingdom through the gospel, you need to have servant leadership. Jesus understood who he was and therefore he knew what he had to do. So here's the thing. You need to ask yourself two questions tonight. If you're struggling with this question and want to know if you're a servant leader, ask yourself this question. Question number one, whose am I? Not me personally, but you, say it for yourself. Whose are you? You answer that? Okay, then who are you? You see, if you know whose you are, you'll know who you are and you'll know what to do. And this is what Jesus continuously teaches in the Bible. In John chapter 5, verses 19, he says, very truly I tell you that the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son does. If you ever want to know how to be the best servant leader, ask God. It's in our relationship with God. It's in our ability. And this is what Jesus continuously keeps teaching us through the Bible. As a Christian, we should realize that so many times we want to put the do before the who. Yeah. If you want to serve your community, first ask God what his plan is for his people. Yeah. And then you'll know what to do. And that's what we've got to do, is get our priorities straight. You know, I got this wrong as a youngster. I was 19 years old and I had got my first managing position for Edgar's. So we opened up a store in Long Beach Mall in Fishhook. And I was probably one of the youngest managers that had been employed in the company. So everyone was watching me going like, let's wait for him to make a mistake. But the funny thing is, as I got the position, I almost went to my head. I thought, I got an office now. I got a suit. I got a pen and paper. I just write down a whole little list for everybody else to do. So like, today, you're going to be doing that. No, I don't want to do it. No, you will do that. I'm the boss. And so on the opening day of Long Beach Mall, I hired these suits, these like amazing suits. And I thought they were the biggest practical joke on planet Earth. I hired the biggest Barney suit you could ever imagine. This sucker was massive. It was like the real Barney suit. I had got this teddy bear and then there was this dragon. And I thought, this is going to be great. Because if anybody knows me, you know my passion for marketing. So I was like, we're going to get these teddy bears at the robot and they're going to hand out flyers and direct people to Edgar's. And this is going to be amazing. So the opening day starts and these new guys arrive and they're new staff members and I've got them in and I go, hey guys, I've got a job for you. You four, come with me. I've got a cool job for you. So these guys come over and I'm like, hey, yeah, listen, you're gonna put this on. You're gonna put them, they're looking at me like, I'm gonna put this on. I'm like, yeah, don't worry. You're only gonna put it on. I'm gonna drop you at the robot. You're gonna hand out flyers for half an hour. You'll be back. It'll be cool. They're going like, okay. So anyways, 4 hours later, guys, I forgot these guys at the robots, 2 kilometers away. 4 hours later, 3 of them are walking in, dragging the heads of these teddies. They are sweating. I promise you, they were spicy. They were like really sweating. They arrive in and they look at me and they go like, you forgot us at the robot. And the guy wearing the Barney suit couldn't even walk back here. So I jumped in the car, got to the guy at the Barney suit, and I've never seen a guy so deflated. He was sitting on the curb, leaning on the Barney's head. Like he had been abused by Barney. And he was like very, very upset. He got in the car, he didn't speak to me. And all he did is he's like, I'm never wearing that Barney suit. I was like, bro, you're never wearing that Barney suit ever again. Next morning, guys arrived. I go, hey, listen, I've got a job for you. And they're going like, no. I'm like, don't worry, you're not going to wear the Barney suit. You're going to wear the teddy bear suit. He was like, what? I'm not wearing the teddy bear suit. So he got so angry. I said, listen, Yabri, I'm the boss. And you will wear the suit or you can leave. So the guy took his badge off, threw it on the floor and he left. So I was like, whoa. Next thing I hear my boss behind me and Charles looks at me and goes, Dieter, I'm the boss and you'll wear that suit. Or you can leave. And I was like, wow, okay. So I did what everybody does. You put the suit on. that suit was horrible, guys. It was so massive, you couldn't even run it, like move. But like, so I'm standing at the robot, and now two things I learned about the Barney suit is that kids love Barney. Teenagers, not so much. They stole my head. Like, there were guys on the bucket and they drove past and stole my head and they're driving away and I'm like, give me back the head. I promise you. And you know what's so funny is the guy that made that suit spicy the day before, it was even more spicy when I got it. I came back and my boss looked at me and he goes like, so I was like, oh, I'm so angry with my boss now. I'm going like, you embarrassed me. And he stopped and he said, Didi, you know why you were one of the youngest guys we took for this job? Because you had passion, courage, and you led your team like a captain. It's why we chose you at such a young age. He said, I want to let you know something, that if you don't have your people's heart at interest, you'll never have their hearts. Let me tell you something, Dita. Men don't follow men, they follow courage. And I've learned a lesson that day because he was trying to teach me that, sir, don't do something that you wouldn't expect anybody else to do. Don't go and say you're going to go and do this and you wouldn't be prepared. You got to repeat the behavior you want to see repeated. And so we can see that over and over that leadership is based on serving others, not yourself. We also see that as a role here at View Church as a leader, it's not, our role here is not to help people get onto our congregation. Our role is to help serve people to help grow the kingdom of God. That's our role here. It's to serve. It's not to take an autocratic leadership role. And so the second thing that we've got to see here is that Jesus says you've got to get your heart right. Even the disciples got caught up in the role of status and purpose, and they didn't understand their opportunity that they were given. And we can see in Luke 22, verses 24 to 27, it says this, a dispute also arose among them as to which one of them considered was the greatest. So Jesus said to them, the kings of Gentiles lord over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Everybody look to the person and say, you are not to be like that. Come on, look to the other person and say, you are not to be like, with conviction, you are not to be like that. Stop being such dictators, come on. Instead, the greatest amongst you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is not the one who is at the table, Jesus is saying, I'm sitting at the table with you. And then Jesus goes on to say, but I am among you as one who serves. That's my second point, is that Jesus was amongst us as one who serves. Serving people can be hard sometimes. You know, sometimes I think I read the scriptures and I have that picture when Moses crossed the sea, the staff, and he led from the front and the sea parted and he took the Israelite people. I'm sure that a year later, if Moses had a time machine and he went back to that moment where God said, let all my people go, Moses would have stopped and gone, God, really, you want all your people? Can I pick some of them that could stay? Sometimes leading can be hard, but servant leadership is about carrying the mantle and pushing through to realize that people have potential in them. You must never give up. God never gives up on you. You never give up on somebody else. There's always the potential to serve. I remember when I started in church, I was trying to start a youth group and I'd heard about Andre and I was in a small Baptist church, but everybody heard the story because I don't know if you know the story and he's not gonna be happy I'm telling you this, but when Andre started as a youth leader, you know, he couldn't get into the schools. So what he did is he actually said to the schools, do you mind if I sweep your classrooms while I pray over them? They saw his commitment. And they ended up getting into the school and ran one of the biggest youth groups that were actually run in this entire area. Most of us were going, hearing all these stories about Andre actually running. And so I'm looking at my pastor going like, I've got like 30 kids. I can't get over 30 kids. How do I grow a great youth group? And you know what he said to me? He said, first of all, can you pray for others? If you want to be great, you need to learn how to pray for others. If you want to be great, you need to learn how to vacuum an auditorium. If you want to be great, you need to learn how to attend a view group. If you want to be great, you need to serve in a kids ministry. What he was trying to tell me is you don't have to wait to be great. You can be it now, tonight. You could serve. You can help clean up. You can help pack up chairs. All of this is actually being involved in growing the kingdom. And that's what he was trying to teach me, is that you can change your world today. Some of us are waiting for the big great moment. Remember, great moments are not made out of one massive moment. They're made up of millions of decisions that lead up to great moments. You know, Dina, Reza, we're busy doing a View Group curriculum now called Reach People Movement. If you're not in a View Group, I encourage you guys, get into a View Group. This one is going to be awesome. It's a 6 weeks View Group. And as we're going to go through, it's going to teach you about the Word of God and a lot about what we're learning tonight. But it's also going to get the View Groups engaged. And they're going to be like, how can you serve your community? Can you clean up an area? Can you go to a school and help? Can you help feed somebody in the community? Can you get involved? Can you lead a View Group? So it's going to actually encourage us to move as a church. But you know why it wants to do this? Because he's got this thing called Servolution. He's from Church of the Highlands, and he started this thing called Servolution. And what Servolution is, it's a complete and radical change of a person's life caused by simple acts of kindness to the glory of God. It's God's kingdom on earth. And it's a church that's a revolutional church through serving. The third thing we see is that we get to use our hands. And my point on this is that one act of surrender leads to another act of surrender. Have you ever felt that? Like somebody once said to me, it's a butterfly effect. I don't know if you've ever paid it forward, where somebody's been kind to you and you've been kind back to somebody else. The other day I'm driving through McDonald's and Andre's in front of me. Andre eats McDonald's, guys. But Andre's in front of me, and just randomly I get to the window and I'm like, I want to pay. And he's like, no, the guy in front of you's paid for you. I'm like, why did you do that? Like, why did you? Andre's like, bye, just drives. So you know what I did the following day? I thought, what a cool thing. I remember how it made me feel. So I did it for somebody else. One random act of kindness can lead to another one, just like dominoes, but you'd need to start it first. And so one of my favorite verses in the Bible is, we don't have time to go through it in full, but it's where Jesus, the woman, there's a Canaanite woman that comes to Jesus and she says, can you heal my daughter? She's demon possessed. And Jesus says, I've only come for the Israelite people. And then she says, oh, but please, please, can you just heal, please? And he looks at her and he says, should I take the food from our children and feed it to the dogs? And you know what she does? She gets on her knees and she says, but master, yes, because even the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. Jesus says, your faith has healed you. Your faith has healed. Jesus then goes on, and the story actually goes on and says that Jesus then gets up and carries on walking, and then he starts to heal the lame, the blind, the sick. They're bringing to him, and all of a sudden he's healing people all around. He gets up from there, he goes and feeds the multitudes. You know what that picture tells me the whole time? Is that Jesus started with one and it led to tens of thousands. Sometimes we just need to be prepared to do for the one what we'd be prepared to do for everyone. And that's your first start. Just get started. It starts with being close to people. Then it moves to being in the middle of the people's problems. Then next is giving a big serving of compassion, because Jesus looked on everyone and had compassion on people. We got to, as Christians, carry compassion. We should not be the people that talk about compassion. We should be the people that people see compassion in us. And that is an example of who Jesus was. Can I get that picture of the butterfly up in the cocoon? I just want to get something right as well quickly. It doesn't mean always solving everybody's problems. You got to understand that Jesus healed people. He didn't heal everybody. Sometimes we need to realize that Jesus doesn't want to work outside your situation. He wants to work in your situation with you. So this story of this cocoon goes that a guy actually goes on his lunch break and notices this cocoon, and the butterfly's trying to come out of the cocoon and struggling to come out of the cocoon. There's a small little hole. And he looks at it and he's very intrigued and he thinks, oh, it's amazing. He goes away, comes back tea time, and sees this butterfly still struggling to get out of this hole. And he's going like, he's almost there, but he's not quite there. And he looks like he's struggling. So he walks away again and he says, oh, I really hope that by the next time I come, the butterfly would have been freed and flown away. So he comes back just before he leaves his work that evening, and he sees the butterfly still struggling to come out of the cocoon. So he thinks to himself, I'm just going to help this butterfly. I'm going to get a little scissor and I'm just going to nick the cocoon and allow the butterfly to come out. And so the butterfly comes out and the butterfly is freed. But you know what happens to the butterfly? The butterfly comes out half deformed because it hadn't fully transformed. And we got to realize that sometimes the pressure of life, the problems of life are there to form us. Some of us want people to cut us out of our situation, but Jesus is saying, I'm in your situation. He is with you. He is walking with you. But he needs you to realize that sometimes your problems are going to form you. They're not going to fail you. You actually need to realize that God wants to work with you. That story's always encouraged me because it's always reminded that I don't have to solve people's problems, but I can walk the journey with them and help them. Sometimes the best gift you can give to somebody is just be there and support while they're solving their problem. When we want to lead like Jesus, prayer becomes our first step. So if we look at our habits, right? The best habit you can start is prayer. The best practice of being a servant leader is to step forward and be the change. If you're gonna make a change, hey, how does that song go? I'm dancing with the man in the mirror. Hey? You gotta be the change. Some of us are waiting to see the change, but you, God's saying, no, I need you to be the change. Some of us are going, Lord, please change my work situation. Lord, just come into my boss and smite him and release him and make him the fairy that loves all of us. And God's going, no, I need to work in you, on you, through you. You are the presence that is going to be there. You are the example, but I need you to first be the change. Some of us want to do church. We actually need to be the church. So what is our strategy if you want to actually be the church? Well, if you want to make an organization listen to you, why don't you start listening? If you want to encourage self-sacrifice giving, why don't you give sacrificially? If you want to see things change in your work, why don't you start that change tomorrow? I encourage you. I challenge you. Go ahead and start it tomorrow. Servolution strategies got made up of these five things quickly. If we can get them on the board. The first thing that I'm going to leave you take home before I close in prayer, I want you to take these take homes. If you want to go on this servolution, if you want to make a difference in the world, the first thing you need to do is prayer. Prayer is key. Ask God to open your eyes to the needs of all the people around you tomorrow and to help you see his people the way he sees his people. The second thing is to listen. A lot of us don't, we're not good at this. Listen, find out what God is doing around you and jump on board. If there's a need, see something, do something. The third thing, believe. If you don't have enough money to accomplish the needs of what needs to be done, you can still start by using what God has given you in your hand. Moses said, hey, God, how am I going to do this? How am I going to free you? And he actually said, well, what's in your hand? He had the staff in his hand. That represented what God, he could use. Just use what's in your hand. Remember, I want to tell you something. We'd say this to leaders in our church all the time. Remember, capital is never going to follow your vision. It's the other way around. Your vision. Did I just say that back to front? Capital will always follow a vision, not vision follow capital. Don't think you need the money first to achieve something. Actually, if you got the vision for something, money will follow it. The fourth thing is act. Now, this is a key one. Roll up your sleeves and be the hands-on in the work. Don't just write a check or just put money in. Don't be that person that's just prepared to just give your money and think that you've done your part. You know what? I think your part is that get in there close enough to the need so that you can touch it, smell it, and really be part of it. I encourage you that it's not just giving, it's actually being. And the last thing is to give and go. Wherever you organically organize, people will be there. So I believe that you should also give, but you should also go. Organize, create an organization. So here's a trick for you. I was telling my son the other day, he wants to feed peanut butter sandwiches because Lucania and the guys, amazing. Thank you so much for all that work. They went out and fed peanut butter sandwiches. They got our next generation, the View rep, to actually make peanut butter sandwiches and went and fed it into the community. But I was saying to my son, you know what we should do next time? We should just buy the bread and just buy the peanut butter and we set up tables in the community and we get those homeless people to come help us make peanut butter sandwiches. And then we get them to serve people around them. You see, it's not just teaching people. You give somebody a fish, you feed them for a day. You teach them to fish. I actually think we need to teach them how the ocean works, guys. Because if they understand how the ocean works, they'll be able to help others, not just themselves. Some of us know how the ocean works. Why don't we get into our communities? Why don't we make a difference? I encourage you, I dare you, come on. And see what God can do. I dare you. I believe the Holy Spirit can do abundantly more than you can ever ask, imagine, by the power of Jesus' name. I believe if you pray about it and you find something, God will come around it and He'll support you. I believe that He can be the difference in our community. Jesus is the difference in our community. He just needs us to be available. We say it all the time, your best ability, your availability. Just be there. So I reckon your next step is actually get into a View group if you're not. And let's see our View groups do something crazy. Come on, can we do that? Can we see our View groups take on this community and do something significant? I believe that when we do this, Matthew 25, 23 says, that this is what Jesus will say when He sees us. He goes, His master replied, "Well done, you good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, and I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." If we could close our eyes and just bow our heads for a second. And I just want to say a quick prayer. Heavenly Father, we really want to be good and faithful servants, Lord. This is not our people, they're your people. Lord, you don't need the world. You live outside of the world. You're all powerful, all knowing. You're not bound by time. And anything that we need, we know that we can get onto our knees and we can ask you, Lord. But Lord, I pray tonight that you will open our eyes, Father God, to have the eyes to see like you see, Father God, the heart to have a heart for your people like you have a heart for your people, Lord. I pray, Lord Jesus, that this will be a start of a revolution, Father God, a start of something new, Father God, that we'll start to see our communities being blessed as we get the opportunity and the privilege of seeing your kingdom grow. And when we get to the gates of heaven, Lord, there'll be nothing sweeter than hearing those words, "You're good and faithful servant." While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I want to take an opportunity and just, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you an opportunity tonight. I don't want you to go home. This is very important. I want you to take this seriously. That if you feel prompting, I encourage you, the best step you're ever going to take is choosing Jesus Christ and a life with Him. It's the best step I ever took. So if you are here tonight and you haven't got a relationship with Jesus Christ, there's a reason you're here tonight. There's a reason you're sitting in that chair. It's not by accident. It's not by fate. It's because God has willed it so. And the scripture says that He draws all men unto Himself. So on the count of three, I want to give you an opportunity. You can just put your hand up and put it down immediately. And all I'm going to do is just pray for you. We're not going to call you to the front. We're not going to do anything other than just pray for you right now. So if you are here, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. One, two, three. You can raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. If there's anybody else here, I want to give you the opportunity. I don't want to move on this moment. You can raise your hand and put it down now. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, even for that hand that's been raised, Lord. your word says that there is a celebration in heaven like we would never experience here on earth, Father God, for the one that comes home. So Father God, we want to give you all the glory, Father God, and we thank you. Church, can we pray together? Just as we do this, I want us just to pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. I thank you, Jesus, that through your sacrifice on the cross, that the devil has lost, and that I can come boldly into your throne room. So Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me tonight. I repent of my sins. I change my direction, Lord, and I want to serve you for the rest of my life. And if you said that prayer tonight, can we just let out a celebration? Amen. Congrats to anybody.
Come on, let's honor Dieter. I thought that was an amazing message. You guys can stay standing even as we, I want to remind you guys, even as we launched Melkbos, I think pretty much a year ago, when we've done any events, Dieter has been at the robots in an outfit. So that's just leading and serving from the front. I thought that was a phenomenal message. Remember, our president's making an announcement at 8, so there will be more opportunity to have people come into this space. So invite your world to our next Sunday service. We're going to carry on with the series Change Your World. And let's quickly just pray again for Camps Bay. Even as we're believing, as we serve Camps Bay, something supernatural is going to happen. Let's pray. God, I lift up Camps Bay. God, even as we go in there and in October as we start this brand new church, our desire is to serve that community, God, and to see people saved, God. Even as we currently are serving this community and the Melkbos community, we pray, God, that we'd see a miracle in all these communities. Jesus, would you raise the spiritual tide as we go in and serve, that we'd see people, you draw people unto yourself, that many people would get saved. And even as you raise that tide, the immovable would become movable. Supernatural things will happen. People saved that we never thought would be saved. Lives changed. God, will you use us? Will you give us the privilege of serving these communities? And even as we do it in this area, Melkbos and Camps Bay, I pray, God, that the churches in the area would get a momentum, even as we all serve together, that churches would be full, they'd grow, and we'd see people get saved. In Jesus' name, everyone believe it, said, amen. Come on, let's give Jesus praise. The place for all our new people, use your voucher to fall more in love with Jesus and have an awesome Sunday. See you soon.